swerve molecules of mocha, or Things the Sheriff Likes. Written by Dunda Klumpen and read by Silky Luster. A Teen Wolf fanfic. Main pairing, Danny Styles. Written for the Pod Together 2013. Chapter 1. The alarm clock woke him with a shrill tone. Styles turned around and hit the snooze button with a growl. He hated Mondays. Mondays were officially evil. Slowly, he pushed the blanket back and stood up. The only thing that could drag him out of the black hole of early mornings was magic. Magic in the form of the incredibly expensive French coffee maker the pack had given him as a housewarming gift. Still half asleep, he scuffled into the kitchen and stopped dead in his tracks, anger pushing him into awareness. He couldn't smell the familiar aroma of fresh ground coffee beans and hot coffee, just waiting for him to be poured in the biggest mug he owned. With two steps, he was at the machine and stared at the blinking light. Damn it! Where the fuck was the manual? 10 minutes and a good amount of swearing later, he still hadn't figured out what was wrong. Apparently, the timer hadn't started. This he was sure of, given the fact that there was no coffee in sight. But why? That remained a mystery. He had switched it off and on. Nothing. He had checked the water, tried descaling the tank, and looked at the brewing unit. But all in vain. Seemed like he had to start his day without his magic fix. What do you want? He shouted at the coffee maker, whose blinking light was taunting him. He patted the chromed exterior in an attempt to convince it to brew his coffee, but nothing happened. Haven't I been good to you? Okay. Off again, on again, press the coffee button. A stream of cold water hit him. What? Square in the chest. Styles huffed impatiently and gave the coffee maker the evil eye. Great. Not enough that it was 5:30 a.m. and he had to start his day without a precious cup of caffeine. Now he had to change his uniform as well. Mondays. He hated them. The streets were empty at this time of day, except the one or two poor souls on their way to work. Otherwise, Beacon Hill was sound asleep.
Styles yawned. He didn't look forward to work.
Mondays were the cruelest. After a whole weekend of utter laziness, he had to drag his ass back to the station. His coffee was what softened the blow, and the caffeine helped to wake him up. But because fate hated him today, he had to make do with the station's coffee. Ugh. He really hated Mondays. While Styles was silently cursing his luck, his eyes wandered over to the empty shops along the main street. Susan's Bakery, Carl's Hardware Store, the 7-Eleven, and a brand new sign with a steaming coffee pot on it announcing Dee's Coffee. He slowed down and stopped in one of the three parking spots in front of it. He knew that old Harvey had closed his shop and that the space had been up for rent, but he hadn't heard any rumors about a new owner. He shrugged and made his way to the door. When he opened it, the scent of fresh coffee hit him. He breathed in deeply and glanced at the counter. There was nobody there. No person, anyway. Instead, there stood a big monstrosity of a coffee machine. One of the fancy ones Styles had always wanted to have, but never could afford. Not to mention the fact that it was half as big again as his old kitchen. He just hoped it held its promise of well-brewed coffee. On his left, he saw a small lounge. Comfortable chairs and low table gave off a perfectly homey vibe. A place one just wanted to sit and enjoy a drink. A cough made him turn around.
"Morning."
The man behind the counter smiled. "What can I do for you?" Styles blinked surprisedly, momentarily lost for words.
"Danny?"
It was Danny. Styles had always liked him. Danny was the first guy he had been attracted to. And finding him here unexpectedly behind the counter of the new coffee shop in town really was a surprise.
"Styles."
Danny's smile grew wide. "I see you're still in town.
So, what can I do for you?"
Styles rubbed his neck and breathed in. "I could kill for a white mocha with a triple shot of espresso." Danny raised an eyebrow, then nodded and got to work.
"You sure about the espresso?"
Styles returned the raised eyebrow, the hope of tasty caffeine letting him join in Danny's smile.
"Absolutely."
Danny nodded again and continued to work on the monstrosity of a machine.
"So,"
Styles leaned against the counter. "What are you doing here? I almost thought you were gone out there, gone to college."
Danny looked at him, as if not sure if Styles was kidding. Then he laughed.
"I graduated 5 years ago. And came back to Beacon Hill to work in a coffee shop? That's sad, man."
Shit.
That wasn't what he had wanted to say.
"Foot. Me. Mouth."
Danny only shrugged. "I know it seems weird. But after I worked at Etronic Industries for a couple of years, I realized that programming wasn't what I thought it would be. Way too many idiots out there." He gave Styles a look. The sheriff felt rightly chastised.
"Sorry," he mumbled.
"Besides, we can't all climb the steps of the ladder." Danny gestured at Styles' uniform.
"Sheriff? Seriously?"
Styles laughed. All insults forgotten.
"I know. Crazy, isn't it?"
"Kind of suits you." Danny winked.
"Thanks, I guess."
Styles rubbed his neck again. "It turned out to be a good choice. I like my job." Danny added milk to the cup.
"So do I.
And I don't just work here. This is mine." Styles' eyes wandered around the shop again.
"You bought the place.
And renovated, and decorated it, and made it the one place I desperately needed when I was studying." He put down a steaming cup in front of Styles. "Nothing against California, but they couldn't do good coffee if their lives depended on it." Styles took the cup and smelt the bittersweet scent of his favorite beverage in the whole world. A sip confirmed what his nose had already told him. Apparently Danny used the good stuff. "Oh my God," he sighed. "You're a lifesaver." Danny chuckled quietly. "Always at your service." Styles took another sip. "What do I owe you?" The taller man shook his head and gave him another smile. "It's on the house." It was lunchtime when Styles came back. Seemed the word had gotten out, because the line was already reaching the door. Styles joined everyone and watched Danny. Looked right at home, chatting with the customers and smiling at each and every one of them while working on their orders. Some people had recognized him as he'd come in, and Styles gave a few friendly nods. In the beginning, it had felt strange. He was so used to his father being the sheriff that the first couple of times people called him that, he had looked over his shoulder expecting to find his dad there. But over time, Styles had grown into his role. He had always wanted to help people, and after his tumultuous years with the pack, it had become even clearer to him. After his dad had retired, he had taken the chance and applied for a job at the station. That he would end up the actual sheriff was something he hadn't expected, to say the least. The day he had won the election, his dad had taken him aside and talked to him about all the things he himself had learned in his career, and everything Stiles would inevitably see in this line of work. Then he had hugged him, asked him to be safe, and told him that he was proud. That was the moment Stiles had felt for the first time that he wasn't a child anymore.
"Hi, Stiles." Danny's voice brought him back to reality.
"Oh, hi, Danny."
"Back so soon?"
"What can I say? I need my fix."
"White mocha with triple espresso?" Danny didn't wait for an answer, but started to add things to a cup.
"Has anybody ever told you that too much caffeine isn't good for you?"
Stiles grinned.
"Shouldn't you encourage my vices, Danny boy? After all, it's to your advantage."
"Let me make you something different. 3 shots of espresso really isn't the best lunch option." The sheriff sighed in defeat.
"I lost my baby today, and you're the only place in Beacon Hills who sells the good stuff. Whatever you make better taste like heaven."
"Your baby?" Stiles rolled his eyes.
"My incredibly expensive and incredibly stupid French coffee maker, which refused to work this morning. I gave it everything I had, but it abandoned me in my time of need."
He whined.
"And without coffee in the morning, I'm only half a man."
He paused for a moment. "Especially on Mondays." Danny's laugh crinkled his eyes.
"Guess it's a good thing you found me, then."
Stiles laughed as well and took the offered coffee.
"You have no idea."
Chapter 2. The second Sunday of the month was Pack Sunday. It meant that the gang came together, chatted, and enjoyed each other's company. With all the commitments they had, they didn't have as much time to see each other as in high school. Back then, they saw each other every day, no matter if they wanted to or not. Now, they all had their own lives. That was the reason why Pack Sunday was so important. Nothing came between them and their tradition. Except for that Omega last month. And there had been this wild mermaid once. But interruptions had become less and less frequent in the last couple of years. Word had gotten out that Beacon Hills was Hail territory again, with a strong alpha and a tight-knit pack. That rumor alone had helped to calm things down considerably, and Stiles was ever so thankful for it. The sheriff balanced the cup holder in his hand and tried to close the car door. He had lost most of his clumsiness since his teenage years, but sometimes he slipped right back. With a sigh, he placed the coffees on the car roof to pick up the key which he had dropped. He wanted to bend down when a familiar feeling hit him. Over the years with the pack, Stiles had developed something like a sixth sense. Erica jokingly called it his spidey senses, and as much as it hurt that she compared him with Spider-Man and not Batman, he was kind of proud of it. The edge of the surrounding woods was at his back, and he listened closely. Something was coming. He concentrated and suddenly his instincts kicked him. He sensed it behind him. In a split second, he had pulled out his gun and turned around to face whatever was attacking him from behind. His eyes widened when he saw the face grinning at him, his gun mere inches away from the creature's head.
"Erica!" Stiles shouted angrily and lowered his gun. "What the fuck? You scared the crap out of me!"
He put back his weapon.
"I almost shot you, for God's sake!"
Erica didn't even blink. Instead, she boxed his shoulder playfully. "Just a little test. To see if the town sheriff has still got it." Stiles sighed dramatically and willed his heartbeat down. "You're insane." Erica laughed, and suspiciously eyed the five coffees Stiles had put on the car. Stiles took them.
"You're lucky I didn't spill them," he threatened,
and started his way to the house.
"They smell great," Erica said, trying to grab a cup. But Stiles was quicker and slapped her hand away.
"No, bad wolves don't get a treat."
The blonde pouted.
"Not even if I ask nicely."
The sheriff looked at her for full 3 seconds before he caved.
"Isaac never should have taught you that look," he grumbled.
Erica took her cup with a smug smile.
"It wasn't Isaac," she said, following him into the living room. "It was Scott."
Stiles groaned and let himself fall on a crouch.
"Great.
I smell coffee."
Right on cue, Isaac appeared.
Stiles handed him a cup silently, and not for the first time he noticed how much the young man had changed since high school. He was still a kind soul, still always the one who wanted to help and mediate. But where back then he had been clouded by an air of insecurity, he now oozed quiet confidence.
A good thing, considering his job as a guidance counselor at Beacon Hills High.
It had taken Isaac a couple of years to come around, but in the end his experience with his dad had brought him something positive. He had a keen eye for kids in abusive circumstances, and his need to help them had driven him to do something about it. That he would end up in his old high school was a special twist of fate. Stiles was wondering why he was thinking about this right now, when his mind gave him the answer by jumping straight to Danny. It had been 2 weeks since their first meeting, and although his baby was fixed by now, Stiles had made it his routine to drop by the coffee shop twice a day to buy his fix and see Danny. Stiles had always liked him, even though he wasn't sure it was mutual. His mind flashed back to his teenage self.
Hadn't he even asked Danny if he found Stiles attractive?
He cringed at the memory. It had been him painstakingly trying to get confirmation. A confirmation of something that back then he wasn't really certain of. He had always liked girls. Of that he was absolutely sure. Girls had played the leading roles in more than one of his wet dreams. So, when his life changed and he suddenly found himself surrounded by a bunch of werewolves who lost their shirts to train at every possible opportunity, he had started to notice. His dreams had changed. Soft breasts and smooth skin were gradually joined by hard, powerful abs glistening with sweat. It had been a slow process, something that confused him more than Stiles had cared to admit. Deep down, he had known what that meant. He was clearly not a one on the Kinsey scale. But dreams were fantasies, and the question of if he would ever act on them was an entirely different matter. So, when boys had started to play a major role in his dreams as well, he had decided to gather information. Danny was the only openly gay guy he knew in his small high school world, not only out, but obviously completely comfortable with it, which impressed Stiles and made Danny a safe option for research. Because if Stiles was good at something, it was doing research. Unfortunately, Danny hadn't been the most reliable source. He hadn't gotten more than an eye roll for an answer. Sure, he could have observed him and learned the Gay Guy Manual 101 from afar, but it wasn't the same. If, and the emphasis was on if, Danny had appeared in one of his sex dreams occasionally, who was he to complain about it? And if, really, only if he had also reappeared in some X-rated dreams in the last 2 weeks, Stiles wouldn't breathe a word about it either.
Wow, that coffee tastes great.
Isaac interrupted Stiles' trip down memory lane.
Where does it come from?
Stiles brought it, explained Erica. From the new coffee shop on Main Street, Stiles added.
There's a new coffee shop on Main Street.
Isaac looked surprised. Sometimes Stiles wondered if they lived in the same town.
It opened up 2 weeks ago.
And guess what? You're already addicted. Boyd entered the room and finished his sentence. Stiles ignored him, but he couldn't avoid the speeding of his heartbeat.
True, he tried to divert. You all know that I love coffee. Coffee is my lifesaver. Stiles, without coffee in the morning is like
Derek without a frown, Erica added.
Stiles ignored her and continues, I need my daily dose of caffeine to get going.
That's why you gave me the French coffee maker, remember? It broke down the other day, and I had to drive to work without caffeine. And that's when I found the new coffee shop. It was clearly fate.
Did you know, by the way, that the Swedish king once made an experiment with twins?
One had to drink coffee his whole life, and the other only tea. He wanted to prove that coffee was dangerous.
But in the end, the coffee twin survived his brother, two doctors, and the king himself.
Ha! Take this, coffee haters.
Damn it.
Back to his babbling 16-year-old self in under 5 minutes. That was a record, even for him. But it was hard to shake off old habits, especially when not facing one but three werewolves and their stupid, incredible hearing. Erica had narrowed her eyes and examined him closely.
What?
Stiles snapped.
Nothing, she answered innocently. Just, I bet there's more to the story.
No, Stiles deadpanned. The tree twin really died first, I'm certain. She made space for Boyd, who sat down next to her.
Come on, cut him some slack, Erica.
Stiles sent Boyd a thankful look. It couldn't hurt to have him on his side. Erica wasn't one who gave up easily, but if there was one person who could calm her down, it was her mate. These two were clearly meant for each other. When Boyd had gathered all his courage 2 years earlier and asked her to marry him, she had immediately said yes. In fact, Stiles had never seen her as moved as on the day of their small ceremony in the backyard, under the old oak tree. They were the picture of happiness, and Stiles couldn't have been more glad for them. Ever since that day, Boyd had been at her side. Wherever Erica went, Boyd was not far. It wasn't as if it had been different before, but now they seemed to be even closer joined at the hip. It had a soothing effect on her. Her wildness didn't break out as often as it used to. What's his name? Stiles' head snapped around to Isaac.
Traitor,
he hissed under his breath. Isaac smiled sweetly. It's not as if you're hard to read, at least not to us.
So, who is it?
Erica joined the interrogation. Stiles sighed. He knew he had no chance to escape these two. It's Danny.
Who?
Danny. You remember him from high school?
Isaac nodded slowly. Of course I remember him. So he's back in Beacon Hills. What's he doing here?
Owning a coffee shop, Styles answered dryly.
Oh, Isaac grinned.
You know what's a mystery to me? Erica joined the conversation again, and Styles squinted at her.
What?
That after all these years with us, you still can't control your scent.
Styles blinked twice, suspicious by the sudden change of topic.
You can't control your scent?
Not your overall scent, no, Isaac said. But you can control your emotions. You know we can smell them on you.
He let himself fall down onto the couch next to Styles. Fear, disappointment, happiness, he started to list.
Frustration, anxiety, and...
He stopped and looked at Erica, who crossed her legs seductively with a teasing smile on her face. And arousal.
Styles groaned and leaned his head against the backrest.
Oh, I hate you, Erica cackled. I hate you so much!
Isaac snuggled up to him.
Me too, he asked, good humor in his voice.
Styles sighed and patted the wolf's knee affectionately. Yes, you too. All three pack members grinned at him, and Styles closed his eyes. Sometimes werewolves as friends suck big time. Especially when...
Derek! Styles shouted, knowing the alpha was listening in. Come here and whistle to call your guard dogs back.
Derek came in from the kitchen, the spatula for the steak still in his hand.
Why should I?
Because, Styles explained, they're harassing your human pack member.
Derek lifted a single eyebrow.
Oh. And you mean the only pack member in this room currently with a weapon?
Yeah.
You seem pretty helpless to me.
Styles closed his eyes again and counted silently to 10.
Like Alpha, like Pack.
The only question was who had a bad influence on whom.
Chapter 3. Like every morning in the last 2 weeks, Styles had bought his first coffee of the day at Danny's coffee shop. It had become a habit to drive by there on his way to work. Of course he loved the coffee to pieces, but it wasn't a secret that his feet led him there because of the owner. He enjoyed talking to Danny. It was easy to tell him about his life and hear what he had been up to in the last 10 years. If it was quiet, and at the time Styles arrives, it usually was. Danny joined him at one of the tables, and they drank their coffees together. Although he had only been doing it for the last 14 days, it felt as they'd known each other forever, which, strictly speaking, they had. But back in high school, they hadn't talked much.
True. Styles had asked Danny occasionally for help, and Danny had been present for some of his first adventures with the pack, but all in all, they weren't really friends then.
Now that had changed, or at least Styles thought it had. Danny was attractive, but that wasn't the first thing that came to his mind when he thought about him. They had more in common than they had thought, and were discovering it bit by bit during their talks. Although Danny had left Beacon Hills and gone to university, most of their experiences with people were the same. They were heading in the same direction, and their overall views of life matched perfectly. It was rare that Styles had the feeling he could open up to someone. Someone outside of Scott and the pack. He wondered why he hadn't noticed that before, when they were still in school. He knew he had changed quite a bit since that time,
Maybe Danny had, too. If so, it was certainly for the better. Still, he had no idea if Danny more than liked him as well. Yes, he was flirting with Styles. Even Styles could see that. It could just be a harmless flirt, though. Nothing serious. So what should he do? He could ask Danny out. In fact, he probably should ask him out and see what Danny would say. But if he said no, it would be very awkward. And Style wasn't ready to abstain from that coffee yet. Nor from Danny's company, for that matter. Hi, it's me. Styles opened as he sat on his bed. Hi. Scott sounded cheerful. How are you? Great, man. Nothing but sand, ocean, Alicent, and a surfboard. I'm in a werewolf-free zone, and I'm loving it. Styles laughed. Werewolf-free, except for you. That doesn't count, Scott objected. If you say so. So, how's life in Beacon Hills? Any catastrophes since we left? Nothing major. Dad was glad it was quiet. He had nothing more dangerous on his plate than a few drunks and a lost cap. So, about Danny. Danny had been Styles' reason to call Scott and interrupt his friend's holidays with his wife. Did you ask him out? Scott came straight to the point. No. Why not? Styles wiggled so he could lay flat on his back. Because I'm a coward. It was quiet for a second too long on the other side of the line. You're just looking for an excuse. Sometimes it was downright scary how Scott was able to nail it. I always liked Danny. That's why I can't ask him. Styles could practically hear the gears turning in Scott's head. You can't ask him because you like him. You know, you're one of the dumbest, smartest persons I know. Styles had to smile at that statement. You like Danny. You were at his coffee shop twice a day for 2 weeks, and you told me he even flirted with you. It could have only been friendly chatter to a customer. Styles interjected. Now it was Scott's turn to sigh dramatically. If he didn't care, he wouldn't have put up with you for the last 2 weeks. He made you coffee. I paid for the coffee, Styles interrupted. But did you pay for his company as well? The sheriff kept silent. See, that's what I mean. He spends his rare free time in between customers with you. He sits with you, and you two talk and drink your coffees. You practically were on a date already. Or 14, if you count the last 2 weeks. What if I ask him out and he says no? Then what? You hang out with werewolves and face down one scary creature after another. And you tell me you're scared of rejection? That's ridiculous. Styles had a sudden urge to throw the phone against the wall. Scott's voice turned serious. You are a great guy. Anyone who can't see that is an idiot. A wave of fondness drifted through Styles. You sound like a fortune cookie. Scott laughed too. Go and ask him out. I'm sure he will say yes. The sheriff closed his eyes, only to see a smiling Danny in his mind. Thanks, he replied. And listened to Scott thankfully changing the topic to tell him about the killer waves. While Styles was battling his inner demons, some other supernatural creatures had taken it on themselves to make his life hell. The first text arrived shortly before lunchtime. "He's hot." Styles stared at his phone and groaned. "What are you doing there?"
"Buying coffee."
"Erica!" "Keep calm, Styles. I'm not alone. Boyd is with me."
"That should calm me down. How?"
"Relax. We're just getting coffee." Styles was considering driving to the coffee shop when the station's phone rang. "Gotta go," he texted. "And so should you. Now." As he picked up the receiver, his mobile buzzed quietly, taunting him with one last message. "Nice ass, though." It was a slow day, and Styles eyed his phone. He hadn't received any new messages from Erica or any other member of the pack, and he just hoped it would stay that way. As if thinking these thoughts had jinxed it, a new message arrived. "I hear you're into Danny now." Styles wanted to hit his head against the desk. "You don't live here anymore. You don't get a veto. Just because I'm at Harvard doesn't mean I can't look out for you." "It's Danny, not a crazy alpha." "He's still a looker." "How do you know how he looks?"
"Ever heard of Facebook?"
Styles rolled his eyes, thankful she couldn't see him. "I just wanted to wish you good luck." "Thanks, Lydia." Smiley face.
"If you date him, does that mean we get free coffee?"
"Not you too, Isaac." "Just making sure he's good enough for you. Did you ask him out yet?"
"No."
"And having the pack over there interrogating him doesn't raise my chances." "We're subtle."
"Like a herd of bulls in a china shop."
"Go and ask him out.
Or I'll take Derek with me next time."
The sheriff threw his phone in the desk drawer and slammed it shut. Styles took a beer out of the fridge. It was a work day, but after all the emotional stress the pack had put him through, he deserved one. Tired, he let himself fall on the couch and switched on the TV. The coffee shop was closed. That meant his friends couldn't do any more harm than they already had. Gradually, he relaxed and followed the movie. He had already seen it, but it was a classic. Halfway through, his phone beeped. Styles twitched. He hadn't expected another message for today, but it seemed he was out of luck. Isaac's name appeared on the screen.
"I'm sorry."
Styles put down his beer. "What did you do?" He dreaded the answer.
"I met your dad tonight."
"So?"
"And we talked."
Feeling slightly nauseous, Styles replied. "About what?"
"You know, this and that." "Isaac!"
"I may accidentally have told him about Danny." Styles had the urge to knock his head against the nearest wall, or his phone. But that wouldn't be as efficient.
"Accident, I swear!" "Isaac!" "I'm sorry, he's just..."
Styles looked at the screen. "What, my dad? The former sheriff? The next busybody to invade Dee's coffee?"
"So intimidating."
"Shit,
He was so screwed.
Chapter 4.
Morning!
Danny's face lit up when Stiles approached the counter. It was almost 3 weeks since the sheriff had discovered the coffee shop, and today was the day he wanted to ask Danny on a date.
Finally!
The pack had been a nightmare.
Stiles knew they meant well, but their constant nagging was getting on his nerves. It wasn't if he didn't want to ask, but he had just needed a little more time to find his courage. The way he felt around Danny was ridiculous. He liked being with him, but at the same time, his high school crush completely took over. Today was worse, because he had decided to take the first step. Stiles took his cup and headed straight to the table where they usually sat to drink their coffees together. There was no customer in sight, and Stiles was glad that Danny had time to swing himself into the chair opposite him.
"You're early today," Danny declared. "I couldn't sleep."
"Work trouble?"
Danny looked concerned.
"I had a lot to think about." Stiles took a sip of his coffee.
"Nothing bad, I hope."
"Well, there's this guy," Stiles began, and looked at his hands rather than at Danny. "He's a nice guy, and I wanted to ask him out, but I'm not sure how he will react."
Danny put down his cup with an expression Stiles couldn't decipher.
"If you like him, I say go for it. You never know if it could have worked if you don't try."
Stiles swallowed.
"But if I ask him and he says no, what do I do?"
Danny smiled sadly.
"If he says no, he's an idiot."
Stiles blinked and stared at him in disbelief.
Had he heard correctly?
"What?"
Danny shook his head, as if he wanted to reprimand himself for saying something in the first place. He took a mouthful of his coffee and looked right back at him.
"I said," he repeated clearly in the silent coffee shop, "that he's an idiot if he says no."
Stiles' heart sped up. He couldn't believe what he had heard. If he asked, then he would say yes. If he...
"So, would you?"
Danny still eyed him.
"Would I what?"
Stiles smiled.
"Go out with me?"
Danny's expression switched from sad to confused before landing on surprise.
"Me? I'm the guy you want to ask out?"
Stiles nodded while Danny started to laugh.
"You're kidding me."
The sheriff's heart fell.
"Damn it." He
put down his coffee and rose abruptly.
"I'm sorry," he stammered. "I didn't want to embarrass you. I..."
Danny had risen as well, his hand warm on Stiles' arm.
No. That wasn't what I meant. I would love to go out with you."
Stiles slowly turned to face him.
"Really?"
Danny grinned.
"Yes, really."
He coaxed Stiles back towards the chair and pushed him softly into it. Then he sat down again himself.
"I was just surprised. You're sitting here and telling me about a guy you like, and the only thing I could think of was, I want to be that guy. I thought you were interested in someone else."
Stiles shook his head.
"No, I just tried to figure out a way to ask you." Danny chuckled. "You have no idea how long I've wanted to say something, but..." Danny hesitated before he continued. "But I wasn't sure if you liked me that way, and I didn't want to risk our friendship."
Stiles smiled.
"Great minds think alike."
Danny leaned forward.
Do you remember the day you asked me if you were attractive to gay guys? I dismissed it as a joke back then. The sheriff nodded. But I liked you. You were funny and loyal and kind of cute.
Dad laughed. But a huge pain in the ass.
You bet. And I was sure you weren't gay. Yet.
Both men grinned.
So, Stiles said, and straightened in his chair. Danny, do you want to go out with me?
Danny smiled his sweetest smile. Yes, Stiles, I would really like to go out with you.
They met at Sue's Burgers. The diner was packed, and Stiles was glad he had booked a table beforehand. They ended up in a small booth next to the back entrance, but he didn't care. He was happy to finally be here with Danny. Although they had seen each other every day in the last 3 weeks, this evening was different. Now they knew about the other's intentions, and nervous expectation was hanging in the air. That didn't completely change the familiarity that they'd already developed, though. They slipped right back into the fun conversation and talked about everything and nothing, ordering and consuming half the menu. Or at least it felt like that when they left the diner.
I'm so full, Stiles groaned and stopped.
I'm gonna roll home. Danny patted his own stomach and returned. My legs could do with some stretching. Want to roll with me?
Stiles briefly looked at his car in the parking lot. Then he shrugged. Sure. We could always pick it up later. It was a mild evening. Summer was officially over, but it was still warm enough to go out without a jacket. They wandered aimlessly around town until they found themselves in front of their old high school. Danny's eyes roamed over the dark building.
It looks smaller than I remember. Stiles came to a halt next to him.
Strange seeing it like that.
Occasionally you have to come here because some kids are in trouble. And let me tell you, it feels weird every single time. Especially if I have to talk to one of our old teachers. I can't imagine. I'd be like a teenager again, even though I should represent the voice of reason.
Danny laughed. Stiles Stilinski, the voice of reason. Who'd have thought?
Isaac told me that he's still freaking out when he has to go to the principal's office.
Oh, yeah. You said he's working here as a guidance counselor.
Danny started to walk again, and Stiles recognized the way they were heading. I know he loves his job, but he didn't expect to end up at his old high school either. Are you still in touch with many of your old friends? Stiles followed him to the sports grounds.
I kept in touch with a gang. You know, Isaac, Erica, and Boyd. And, of course, Scott and Allison.
They're married. It was a statement, not a question.
They're happy together, Stiles confirmed.
What's with you? Still talking to Jackson?
They had reached the lacrosse field.
From time to time. He's in London now. High-flying property shark.
Fitz. We're still friends. Although I think he has trouble understanding why I came back to Beacon Hills instead of living the big city life.
Stiles nodded.
Still a douchebag, then?
Danny chuckled quietly.
A little.
They looked over the field.
Come on!
Danny took Stiles' hand and dragged him along.
They only stopped when they were standing in the middle of the field.
You know... Danny turned to Stiles without letting go of his hand. I always had this fantasy. Styles' throat went dry.
Which was?
He rasped. I was out here in the middle of the lacrosse field with a guy, Danny described, and took a step closer. It was dark, and no one else was around. Danny's fingers curled lightly around Styles'. I was holding his hand, and we looked at each other. My chests were almost touching, and Styles could feel Danny's warm breath with every word. And then, Danny mumbled, and leaned forward, we kissed. Their mouths were only inches apart, and Styles closed his eyes. But instead of feeling soft lips against his, he heard a penetrating roar.
Styles whipped his head around, and he saw it. A werewolf stood only a couple of yards away, his eyes glowing blue, hissing through a mouth full of fangs.
He knew immediately that it wasn't a member of his pack.
Shit!
In one fluid motion, Styles pulled out a knife. It was only a switchblade, small enough to fit in his pocket, but its blade was covered in wolf's bane. With his other hand, he took out his phone and hit speed dial.
Derek, Styles shouted into the speaker, I'm at the lacrosse field at Beacon Hills High. I'm here with Danny, and a rogue Omega's gonna attack us any minute. Hurry!
With these words, he slipped his phone back into his pocket and positioned himself between the werewolf and his date.
Styles, what? Danny tried to ask, but the sheriff didn't finish. I'll explain later. Stay behind me and don't run. Understood?
Danny's yes was faint as Styles concentrated on the beast in front of him.
That was just his luck. The fucking one day in his life he needed for himself happened to be the day a crazy werewolf chose to attack. He wished he had his gun with him, but it was lying at home in his safe. He had a spare one in the car, together with an assortment of wolfsbane, one of Allison's bows, some arrows, and a baseball bat. But because they had decided to take a romantic stroll, his car was nowhere in sight. He was on a date, for God's sake!
The Omega growled dangerously and stared at the two men. Styles was sure it could smell the pack on him. That was probably the reason why it hadn't attacked immediately, but waited, prepared to find the rest of the pack near his prey. Styles saw the moment in the Omega's eyes when it dawned on the beast that there would be no pack to defend them. The werewolf let out another deep roar and jumped. Styles didn't think. He couldn't count how many times he had found himself in similar situations. His body took over. Instinct to flee suppressed by Derek's training. Still shielding Danny with his body, he raised the knife. He held it firm, but still loose enough to handle it. Just right. With a quick move, Styles threw himself to the side and sliced his blade through fur and flesh. The Omega howled and backed away, only to attack again a second later. Styles barely had the time to roll onto his feet before the beast came at him anew. This time, he wasn't quick enough. The heavy weight of his opponent hit him like a brick wall. All air was pressed out of his lungs, and he heard a cry. He felt a stabbing pain and recognized that it must be him who had screamed. The Omega pulled his claw out of his body and warm blood trickled to the ground.
Danny! Styles gurgled breathlessly. Run!
The thing was, Styles was used to being rescued by his pack. As often as he had saved their asses, they had saved his. He might be the brain in their little group, but when it came to fighting, he didn't have a chance. He wasn't actually bad, on the contrary. But against a werewolf with supernatural strength and speed, he was helpless. With the right weapon to compensate his weaknesses, he could fight anything. But tonight he only had the switchblade. It was like trying to stop a truck at full speed with one outstretched hand. As much as he wished it, he was no fucking Superman. Black spots danced in front of his eyes, and Stiles tried to fight them. He knew the blood loss would force him to give up soon enough, and the Omega was well aware of it as well. Instead of killing him with one last swing of his claw, he played with him, watched him. While the beast kept track of every breath Stiles forced into his lungs, only one thought was running through the sheriff's head over and over again. Danny. He hoped Danny had been able to flee or hide. If he could only hold out a little longer, the pack would be here. They would rescue Danny. Stiles was sure of it. Blackness pulled at his mind. Stiles had no strength left. Shortly before he slipped into unconsciousness, he thought he saw Danny looming over him. But that was impossible, wasn't it? He woke up to dull pain in his shoulder and with a mouth drier than Sahara. Stiles, his dad's voice lured him into consciousness.
Dad,
Stiles whispered and opened his eyes.
Danny.
He was hoarse and started to cough. Everything's fine. Danny is safe. A glass of water in hand, the retired sheriff helped his son to drink.
What happened?
Stiles' dad put away the glass and sat down. Apparently, you and Danny were on a date when a rogue Omega attacked. You tried to defend yourself, but it was stronger. It got you in the shoulder. With this, he pointed at the bandage covering Stiles' upper torso. Melissa stitched you up. It will heal. Stiles nodded.
Danny?
When the pack arrived, you were already unconscious. And so was the Omega. Stiles' dad continued his report. Seems like Danny knocked him out with a taser. The sheriff gasped.
A taser?
Stiles' dad smiled. Danny wasn't as oblivious to werewolves as you thought. He told me he took the taser with him because he was worried about potential animal attacks. So I asked him if he was talking about special animals, and he got the hint.
Danny knows about werewolves?
This was a piece of information Stiles hadn't been prepared to hear. His dad rose and patted his son's knee. I think it's better for you to rest now. Or are you hungry? Stiles shook his head. Danny knew about werewolves? Oh my. And, by the way, Stiles' dad turned around one last time before closing the door. I approve of your choice of boyfriend. Chapter 5, Epilogue.
So, werewolves, Danny said. Pulled the chair to Stiles' bed.
The sheriff nodded. You're not surprised.
Danny shrugged.
I'm friends with Jackson. He had to confess eventually.
Stiles tried to read Danny's face, but saw neither fear nor panic, only Danny's calm smile.
And then there was this guy in college. He dated briefly. Stiles' eyes grew wide.
You dated a werewolf?
It was just a fling, really.
Holy shit!
Stiles tried to sit up, but throbbing pain reminded him that wasn't a good idea yet.
Whoa.
Keep it slow. What? Danny instructed, and he pressed Stiles carefully back down into his pillow. Instead of sitting back on his chair, though, He slid down to the bed next to Sal's. Back in high school, I had no idea creatures like that existed. Werewolves. But after Jackson and my time in college, all pieces fell into place. Every clue I had noticed during high school suddenly made sense. Danny's fingers stroked softly over the blanket. When your friends visited the coffee shop, I started getting suspicious. So much for subtle, Stiles mumbled.
Not very, Danny grinned.
After I figured out that you were part of a pack, I thought it would be best to be prepared.
So you took a taser to our date. How romantic.
Danny looked serious. Just in case. And I hadn't really intended to use it, but it seemed I wasn't so far off being concerned for our safety. Stiles snorted amusedly. Just to make this clear, Beacon Hills is usually harmless, at least in the last couple of years.
I guess.
Danny's hand hovered over his, uncertain if he was allowed to touch. The sheriff was happy to oblige. He turned his hand around so that their fingers could intertwine. Thanks for saving me. Danny smiled.
Any time, he whispered.